Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Talking Titans, a 22-13 loss yesterday to the Houston Texans. It was ugly, and we're taking your thoughts all show long on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, we have discussed a lot of the Titans' offense and the struggles yesterday, the four interceptions by Ryan Tannehill. What did you make of the performance on the other side of the ball in a rainy day for the defense? 22 points by Houston. What did you make of their performance yesterday against a Texans offense that has been struggling mightily on the road, that found a way, especially with Taylor getting loose a few times, to do some damage yesterday?
I'll repeat one thing. With Davis Mills at quarterback, I think this might be the worst team in the NFL. Yeah. With Tyrod Taylor at quarterback, I think there are a few teams that are clearly worse than the Texans, okay? There's going to be, in fact, in comments on my column on this game, I've already seen it, like, this is a team that didn't score a touchdown in 60, and that's fine, but understand the difference. He's a credible NFL quarterback. Davis Mills is a subject of Robbie Stanley giraffe neck jokes.
You can see the blitz coming all day long.
I mean, there's a huge difference. I know
he was the first one to know it was raining yesterday. All right, I'll stop.
He was the lookout on the rain. He's like, we got to hurry, guys. It's about to get sloppy. That's the thing. When we talk about the Titans' defensive effort, it got a lot better when it got rainy.
Yeah.
Like, it actually wasn't good. Early, the Texans were running really well, and they were converting third downs, and the Titans let Tyrod Taylor, score on those two scrambles. The second one was a killer. It's third and goal. And you have a chance to force yet another field goal. And, they're in man coverage. They're down around the goal line. So Elijah Molden is, he's sticking to his guy. If he turns his head just for a half second, he breaks off and is probably able to get Taylor down short of the goal line. So I'm not even blaming Elijah Molden, who, by the way, was very good yesterday.
Yeah.
He had one tackle on a third down where it took all the force that he could muster to keep that ball short, and he had a really good pass breakup too. But those two touchdowns, 2-for-4 in the red zone, that's the disappointing part, to let them get in, to let Taylor get out. And also, no sacks. No sacks on the day. Now, I think that this was a good coaching job by David Culley and his staff. They know what the Titans can do with their pass rush. They found a way to protect, but mostly they got the ball out really fast all day long. There wasn't a lot of opportunity. And then a few times when they did get some pressure and they did have deeper drops, Taylor was able to make some plays with his feet. So, look, the bottom line is that defense, and I think this is rain-aided, but let's see. You have the muff punt and the touchdown. Again, that's the touchdown I just mentioned where Taylor gets in on third down to make it 19-0. From there, 3-and-out, -2 yards punt, 3-and-out, 9 yards punt, 3-and-out, 1 yard punt, 3-and-out, 9 yards punt. So 4 straight 3-and-outs. And then you have, you give up the field goal because Tannehill threw another pick. So the defense did rise to the second half occasion and give you a chance to win the game. You obviously don't want any games, and you're surprised anymore when you see a game with no sacks. Like, I would never have guessed the Titans would have no sacks against the Texans and bad offensive line.
No, I wouldn't have guessed that either. And that, to me, is the one part of the defensive performance yesterday that, I take a big issue with. Now, to your point, it's not like they were perfect. The Texans put together a couple of drives where they were moving the ball pretty efficiently, including early in the game. In the first drive, they go right up the field, kick a field goal, and set the tone that way. But, at the end of the day, you gave up 107 yards through the air 83 yards on the ground. You're talking about 190 total yards you surrendered. It's hard to have too much of a problem when the defense, when you're giving up 190 yards. Your quarterback keeps turning the ball over, and, you know, I actually thought, you know, after that especially the first interception by Tannehill, where they bring it down to the 7 or wherever they brought the ball down to hold them to a field goal there, I thought that was a huge win. It could have been a big moment in the game. You just continually turn the ball over after that, and you can't have that.
Yeah. No, I agree. That made it, you know, 6-0. The next possession is where the Titans decided to punt, 4th-and-1. They punted, and that's the worst drive. That's the worst response right there by the defense. The Texans went 9 plays, 76 yards, scored a touchdown, made it 13-0. So two of their first three drives, 14 plays, they gained 72 yards. 9 plays, they went 76 yards, they got 10 points. Their first three drives, they scored, but again, like you said, the second of those was because of the Tannehill pick. Dontrell Hilliard makes the tackle, the defense stands up big time. But it was a bad start, and again, those possessions were the dry condition possessions.
Yep.
So when conditions were good, Tyrod Taylor was kind of doing whatever the heck he wanted against his defense. Then the conditions got bad, and they were also, now they have a big lead thanks to the Chester Rogers mistake, and they're kind of, you know, they're playing a little bit of a clock game probably too. But, I mean, Taylor, I felt like when it started to get rainy, man, he couldn't direct the ball at all in the rain. You know, he had some how many passes did he ground once the weather got bad? Yeah. So that's kind of that's a nice assist for the weather to the Titans defense.
If you would have told me coming into this game that Brandon Cooks was going to finish with 2 catches for 18 yards, I would have told you the Titans are probably going to win by 30. That's how I would have looked at this game. That was not the case yesterday, Joe Rexroad.
Yeah, and there was a lot of Fulton there, and it just sort of, so instead they target, you know, Conley has a few plays. You know, Brevin Jordan, it's interesting that he only had 1 catch for 7 yards, but he was targeted a few times on some of those third downs.
Yep, 3 targets.
They're limited. They're a limited team. You know, if you, like you said, 190 yards and 19 points, if you're the Titans defense, given that they were given three short fields against you, you had the pick, you had 2 picks from Tannehill that gave him a short field, and then you had the Rodgers. So given all that, I mean, you'll take that all day, and you're like, okay, then get a little bit of offense and win.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jeff texting in, though the Titans have many injuries that plague all teams, this is why they preach next man up. The game was lost by Tannehill's picks, mental mistakes that always cost wins, and the OC's horrible play calling that constantly put them in second and long. Maybe they should start out in the hurry up as they did squat up until then. I will say, and there's a lot to get through from yesterday's game, I did not think it was particularly good from Todd Downing yesterday, really from the Titans coaching staff in general yesterday as well.
No, and I think the biggest issue I have there, we haven't talked about another thing with, you know, going for 2, which the book does tell you should go for 2 when you score late in the game. It says, you know, fourth quarter, the chart would say when it's 19-6.
The chart. Yes.
And Butch, you know,
come
Butch,
on.
Butch Jones has his own chart, by the way.
That's right.
That is totally different from the chart. But conventional wisdom is so you go for 2 to make it 19-8. You try to make it 19-8. Then you have, if you can get another touchdown and 2 and 1 field goal, now you tie, right? So that was worth considering at that point, as my friend Joey Garrison pointed out to me right after it happened. Although I like when they didn't go for 2, you know, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, 3 touchdowns to win, but you do then reduce the need for kicks, because yesterday was a terrible day to kick, right? So how many PATs were missed yesterday? Bullock missed 1, and Fairbairn, did he just miss 1?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, so you know, you had 2 missed PATs. So by doing that, then you reduce your need to 1 kick. Now you don't know how long it is. But extra points aren't gimmies anymore either, versus needing to, you know, kick 3 extra points or whatever, you know, 2 of the 3 extra points with 3 touchdowns. So probably should have gone for 2 there. Didn't consider it. I think the biggest problem, though, is just the running back thing is what I don't understand. I think some of the predictability, a lot of the first down runs, they got blown up. But I don't know. I don't really get what they're doing with the running backs.
I don't either. And the one that continues to stick out to me is the Adrian Peterson 4th-and-1, right? I mean, that seems tailor-made for a Deontay Foreman carry right there. Or to your point, quarterback sneak the ball with your 6'5" quarterback and let him get the first down for you.
I don't think that's ever not worked.
I don't either. And I could not believe, number one, that Adrian Peterson was in there for that situation and Foreman wasn't. And, again, it's just one of those things. It's easy to second guess. But even at the time, you know, I was watching a game with a buddy yesterday, and he's screaming the whole time, quarterback sneak, quarterback sneak, quarterback sneak. Nothing. Just get stuffed right at the line.
No, that's the thing. If something doesn't work and you second guess it, this is what coaches always like. Vrabel's always like, oh, yeah, okay, it didn't work, so you second guess it. No. Before they ever handed the ball to Adrian Peterson, I was said, and in the press, like, wait, why is Peterson in there? And, okay, it's going to be a sneak anyway. No, they gave him a chance by having a nice, drawn-out handoff to Adrian Peterson to get stuffed. And he, also, before Foreman got the ball late in the game, when he hadn't been in the game forever, it's like, oh, okay, so first down they're going to hand the ball to Foreman. Well, the Texans seem to know that too because the entire team tackled him for a loss of 3.
Yes.
Yeah, and these are – it's a play here, a play there. But the 4th-and-1 is a big moment in the game. Down 13-0, you got to go score a touchdown. And so, okay, reassert yourself. All right, it's still plenty of game. Go get a touchdown. You know, figure it out. You know, you can set things up from there. And that was a big mistake. They didn't have a good day. And David Culley, credit to him. To me, like 3 years ago, that was an amazing coaching game for Vrabel to beat the Texans. Hey, David Culley, Vanderbilt legend, by the way.
Homecoming.
Deserves a lot of credit for what they did to cobble that win together.
Make sure you tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you a little bit later in the show. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got a lot more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
Definitely didn't do enough on defense to help our offense out. Like you said, no turnovers. I don't think we had a sack. Got a couple short fields, but at the end of the day, you know, we forced one field goal. We got to try to force another field goal. Maybe that would have been, you know, a difference in the game. You never know, but, yeah, just a frustrating day today. Ryan knows he has the entire team's confidence. You know, we've been down this road before. We understand that, like I've said before, power rankings don't matter. If you don't play well, you're going to lose. And, you know, we're all grown men. I don't think I had to go speak anything to Ryan to motivate him to play better. He knows. I mean, we're all grown men. It's professional football. So, like I said, we're just not going to panic. You know, it is what it is. We took a loss. And rally the troops, get healthy, and prepare for the Patriots next week.
That was Kevin Byard after the game yesterday, a 22-13 loss for the Titans against the Texans. It was not pretty yesterday at Nissan Stadium, both on the field and with the rain as well. God bless the Titans fans yesterday that hung in there for that one. There were a lot of ponchos getting used yesterday, and there's one video like this dude sitting down, and I guess the water was banking off of the press box or the awning or whatever, and it was just drenching him right on his head, and he just sat there in his poncho. Took it like a champ, watched the whole game, man.
Well, it's impressive. I need to call someone out who couldn't possibly be listening because there's no school this week.
Okay.
Brandon Rexroad, who has season tickets with his buddy yesterday. They bailed like midway through the third quarter.
Oh, Brandon, come on.
He texted me. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, it was flooding. It's flooding up in the upper deck, and we had to get out of there. I'm like, it's flooding? It's flooding. Because I see a bunch of other people sitting there still.
I'll tell you this, if it's flooding in the upper deck, we all got some problems.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going well for us.
And then at that point, it was also, I think at that point, it was like, maybe it might have been like 19-0 at that point. And then I kept texting him, they just scored again, Brandon. You're going to miss this. So anyway, yes, I agree.
I expected a little bit more toughness out of Brandon.
I agree with that too. But kudos to the people who hung in there. It's too bad that, you know, as a quick aside, I thought the Titans did a really good job with the, you know, those halftime things, they're rushed. They got the extra time for it. But you know, those things are fast. And I thought they had a really good video presentation. And then I thought the speeches were really good, you know, from Floyd's son, Sean, and then from Jeff Fisher. I thought it was really nice. And it's too bad. Yeah, you just – obviously, you can't predict weather.
Sure.
It's too bad that it limited. I think some people even tweet at me like, yeah, we went for dry ground and we missed that, and it's too bad. But I'll also say this. Maybe – like, I get why you would schedule that for, like, the Houston game, especially, like, this year. Like, it's like scheduling a homecoming game. This is your homecoming opponent, right?
Yeah.
But when – it seems like the Titans have a lot of these things against either the Colts or Texans, and then the game doesn't go well.
Maybe try something
different.
I don't
know. Yeah, I mean, does that mean just you do this against a random opponent?
The Niners?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But it's too bad that the weather and football didn't cooperate. Does not detract from the bigger point, which was great ceremony and well-deserved, obviously, for Jeff Fisher and the late, great Floyd Reese.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Raymond texting in, Tannehill is the only quarterback paid $30 million that you don't want to throw the ball. This is coming from Raymond on the text line.
Not an NFL quarterback. Put him in the Arena League. Is there an opening in the Arena League?
I'm sure there is.
I mean, man, get him out of there. What has he ever done in the NFL? Has he thrown for a yard? Has he thrown for a touchdown? I don't think so. Look, hey, look, all the Tannehill hate, the Tanna hate is going to be flown today. So the people who have been down on him from the start, they can howl from the top of the roof right now. But there's going to be a little bit of exaggeration there.
I got another text that says it's clear that Tannehill is subpar at best without Derrick Henry. Subpar at best. Look, it's not been good so far without Derrick Henry for Ryan Tannehill. I mean, and yesterday, obviously, the culmination of that, when you throw four picks. It's also, I mean, he's had some good moments in these games, too. I thought, for the most part, against New Orleans, played pretty well, other than the one throw that
was
still believe he got bailed out on the personal foul call.
Yep.
But, you know, the stats are what they are since they've been out. It's not a very good stat line for Ryan Tannehill since Derrick Henry has been out of the lineup. It's just not.
Well, before.
Quite frankly, not all year been a great stat line.
And before yesterday, I mean, I've been on the side of. I mean, I don't think the stats totally tell the story. Protection. I mean, look, the protection is totally different. No, anyone who starts their argument on this with, oh, I don't see any difference in the protection, like immediately, you're on mute. I'm sorry, are you talking? Huh? What? No, you have nothing to say because you're not even, like, capable, I guess, of watching football. But Tannehill was bad yesterday. There's no way around it. You can't play like that. This team's margin for error is such that, I mean, you throw four picks, and who are you going to beat? So, I think, look, there's been a step back from Tannehill this year. There's a lot of excuses to make around it. But yesterday, to me, was a total, that was a different deal than what we've been seeing.
It was bad. So, let me ask you this. Obviously, they sit here 8-3. They're still in first place in the AFC South. No, honestly, with the Bills continuing to play the way that they're playing right now, the Chiefs look like they're coming on a little bit. It's going to be an interesting race here for the number one seed in the AFC. Did the performance yesterday make you feel any differently about what the long-term prospects are for this team in the regular season? Well, I mean, the playoffs are one thing, and we'll get to that as they come down the road here. But did yesterday make you feel any differently about what the long-term regular season viewpoint of this team is?
Well, yeah, because who do they have playing for them anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, that's my biggest problem. I mean, I guess who could come back this week? David Long would make a difference.
Who knows with A.J. Brown? I have
right.
No clue.
I mean, I don't feel good about him coming right back. We'll see. I mean, last week it was apparently panic to think Bud Dupree was, you know, was long-term potentially, and then the Titans just waited until Saturday to tell us that he's on IR. So he's out for a while, and Julio's out for a while. And I mean, you still – what's really good about this team right now? Like, again, give credit to Nick Westbrook-Ikhinen. Give credit to him. He's absolutely stepping forward this year. But you don't want him to be your number one receiver.
No.
What can you count on? I think before yesterday you could say one thing you can count on week after week after week is that this pass rush – is going to be hell on the opponent. And that didn't happen yesterday. A lot of it was the ball going out quickly, but I still just didn't see the disruption, the quick penetration that we have been seeing from those guys. So what are you counting on with this team moving forward? I mean, you know, I think they – I actually think they did some good things running the ball against a bad team yesterday.
Look, I'm still – I did not leave yesterday's game discouraged by the defense, you know. Like, yes, Taylor made some plays. It was an ugly game. You still gave up under 200 yards of total offense. Like, I still think the defense is in a pretty good spot. So I feel good about the defense as they move forward here. The pass rush will have to get better. And I know that you're facing a good offensive line in the Patriots next week. You're also facing a quarterback that will not move. So I wonder what that changes in terms of the pass rush, in terms of how often they're able to get home. I still feel okay about the defense offensively. And this is not just a yesterday thing. Offensively, since Derrick Henry's gone out, they have been bad. They have been a bad offensive football team since Derrick Henry has not been in there. And I think there were some built-in excuses the first couple of weeks that I bought into of, yeah, you're playing two really good defenses. And they did. They played the Rams. They played the Saints. And those two fronts especially are really good. Make no mistake about it. Yesterday's defense, the Texans are atrocious on that side of the ball, and they made you look bad offensively. I feel really bad about this offense moving forward right now, and it's up to them to prove otherwise. I mean, you talk about good defenses. Look at what they're getting ready to play on Sunday. That Patriots defense is playing maybe the best football in the league right now. So it's difficult for me to feel pretty good about anything offensively right now with this group.
Yeah, and it's Tannehill for sure. But I agree that Downey had a bad day, and just whoever's making the decisions on running back subs, you know, I don't get what they're doing there. Then you just have the mistake. Like, your first drive actually was good. You know, they've talked a lot about the first drives, the first scripted drives, and a lot of games haven't gone well. They have in some. This one was going well. They got fourth and one at the Houston 35. Saffold, false start. Now you punt. You have a good drive going in your second drive. It's going well. Peterson's actually running well. You have the awful Tannehill pick. Let's see. Then you got your third drive. You're down 6-0. Oh, it's still, you know, it's fine, whatever. You go 3-and-out. You have a 4th-and-1. Do you go on the 4th-and-1? It's early. Okay, you punt. And that's when your defense gets battered. I hear you on the D, and the final numbers are fine. When the conditions were good, the D wasn't good yesterday either.
I know.
It wasn't. I'm sorry. You know, the final numbers are good, and a lot of big stops in the second half to make it possible. But then again, your fourth possession is in the 4th-and-1 to Peterson. You have some stuff going, and you find a way to, you know, to stymie yourself. So it was Tannehill number one, but there were other aspects of the offense that just broke down.
Coming up next, we will switch gears, get into some college football over the weekend. Look at Tennessee's performance against South Alabama. Vanderbilt, decent showing against Ole Miss as well, and some coaching movement in the SEC. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Get you doing this. No, it's been a tough day for you. You know, how did it come apart so quickly? I mean, a year ago, you guys were like in the thick of the college playoff race, and here we are now.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know that I have some thoughts, and obviously we evaluate our program every day, right? You're constantly looking at things. And, you know, there's some things, conversations Dan and I have had in that time about how we get back to, you know, where we want to be, competing at a high level, and having sustained success. You know, I have some thoughts. I'm going to, you know, probably keep some of those to myself as we move forward here. But obviously we want somebody going forward who can, you know, come in here and they share our high expectations for sustained success and can do so at a place with great resources like the University of Florida.
That was Florida Athletic Director Scott Strickland yesterday after the firing of Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen and the Gators losing again on Saturday to Missouri in overtime on a two-point conversion. And if you've missed Eli Drinkwitz and his press conference and the way he ended it after, go check that out. It was pretty awesome. Remember last year, Dan Mullen with the Darth Vader costume after they beat Missouri because he's just like that and weird? Eli Drinkwitz pulling the hood up, pulling out a lightsaber, says, "May the Force be with you," and walks off the stage. And that was the last time that we saw Dan Mullen as head coach of the Florida Gators. He's out.
I mean, that was like Darth Vader slaying Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, it was.
Not to be a spoiler there. Sorry, Ryan Porth, if you're listening. Now I've just ruined it for you. Episode 4, A New Hope. I'm blown away that they actually fired him. I understand. Like, I get it. It's just gone so poorly in such a short period of time. But again, a year ago.
They were in the SEC title game last year and took Alabama to the wire earlier this year.
Right. And they trounced Georgia last year on the way to the SEC title game. Look, I guess if you are, and there's been a lot of talk about the inner workings of that program, recruiting's not going as hoped, and there's a lot of question about Dan Mullen, a lot of criticism. So that's fine. That's more than just like these losses strung together, but who are they getting? Who's better than Dan Mullen?
I don't know.
I mean, I know some Florida fans will be like, what do you mean better than Dan Mullen? Anybody's better. He's the worst coach ever. I get that. Everybody's down on Dan Mullen. His track record is pretty good. Now, maybe he is a guy who just should be, and this is what he'll get now, just should be at a Mississippi State kind of program and overachieve and not have that glaring spotlight and that expectation that you better be battling with Kirby for this, that, and the other five-star and if not, you know, that's what Florida is.
Yep.
So maybe he shouldn't be there, and it makes sense. But I still have my questions to Florida. Who are you bringing in right now that you're just going to be like, yes, let's turn around? They've had quite a run since Urban.
They have.
I mean, that's the crazy thing. It's like as a Tennessee fan, by the way, is obviously you got your own troubles, but probably should have beat them a little more often in the last few years, given their own, you know, turmoil and upheaval.
Well, watch them play football the last 3 weeks and watch Tennessee play football the last 3 weeks.
I know.
And then think back to that Tennessee-Florida game. It's infuriating is what it is. Absolutely infuriating.
It's amazing because so often in college football especially, NFL too, but in college football especially, teams can be so much better in like November than they were in September. And in this case, they can be so much worse. Yes. Now, Tennessee would blow their doors off.
Maybe that was it.
Kentucky game broke them.
Kentucky just eviscerated Florida. That was it.
There you go.
They went downhill after that.
They did. Kentucky broke them.
Tennessee tried.
The tears are still flowing.
Yeah, still mad. Still salty about that loss to the Vols, huh? Oh, man.
Bob on Twitter, Dan Mullen to UW. Bob really wants a new coach out there in Washington. Really, I think we've heard James Franklin and now Dan Mullen out there to Washington. I guess that'd be a good fit. Have fun out in Washington.
there's a lot of jobs. My goodness, there's a lot of jobs open.
Yeah.
I need a
USC,
spreadsheet.
LSU, Florida. All open in the same year.
And, I mean, Washington
yeah.
A significant job, too.
No, it's not in the category of those three. But, yeah.
Sorry, Bob.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, Bob and I are going back and forth on the whole, like, Vrabel, the motivation. He didn't motivate him to win, but he motivates him to win the big games.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not what we're talking about this segment, Bob. But I keep going back and forth with him on Twitter. It's an incredible amount of stuff. Like, the USC job, I have – just put in pencil James Franklin. Do they definitely want him given how that season's gone? I mean, it's one season, but that's how these things happen. And honestly, it's amazing the run of coveted coaches in the past few years in college football. Like Tom Herman, everybody had to have Tom Herman. Oh, my gosh. Scott Frost, you're falling all over each other. I mean, Matt Campbell at Iowa State now, he had a chance to go somewhere, and now he's, I don't know. Like, the star system in college football for coaching, it happens so quickly where all of a sudden you are this, like, everybody's got to have flavor of the month, and it has just not gone well for most of them. Justin Fuente is another example of Virginia Tech. He had his pick of jobs. Now they're looking for, and that's another job, by the way, that's pretty good right now that's open. Pretty amazing.
Ronnie on the text line. As a Florida fan, I'm not necessarily on board with this decision, but something obviously was wrong. I believe there's something else going on behind closed doors. Will we ever know? Doubtful. It was coming from Ronnie on the text line. It did fall apart rather quickly. It does make you wonder, like, how did it get to the point where, I mean, they've got pretty good talent out there, and they're just getting totally punched in the mouth by Samford a couple of weeks ago.
Well, so Strickland was asked if they just finished this game. And, you know, by the way, Eli Drinkwitz and Shane Beamer, I tweeted this the other night, as bad as both of their teams were 6 weeks ago, and there was some good timing for Tennessee. I think Tennessee would still beat those teams now, but they blew their doors off back then.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt should have won at South Carolina. I'm not sure South Carolina doesn't beat Clemson this weekend.
Seriously. Well, like, Clemson looked a little better then.
That's true. They did. But, I mean, like, those guys deserve a lot of credit for turning those teams around. But Strickland was asked, had Florida won this game, would he still have been fired? He's like, well, I don't want to get in the – I think the answer may be that, no, they wouldn't have fired him. But because of, you know, basically a great – they call a timeout and Drinkwitz goes for the two to win. And it was a great little, you know, throwback to the tight end thing. They sneak him out from the right side. The blitz is coming, and they win. I mean, Florida competed in the game, had a chance to win the game, lost a close game, and he's out.
Tennessee destroys South Alabama on Saturday. Not really much to look at there. That went about the way I thought it would. Vanderbilt hanging in there with Ole Miss. 31-17 final as the final score. Ole Miss taking down Vanderbilt on Saturday. So you're not much in the moral victory business. I know that. But I was pretty impressed by what we saw from Vanderbilt on Saturday.
No, they had it, and honestly, in the first half, they had a few drives that they had to settle for field goals, or else who knows? It was probably their best performance. The Vols, I mean, I know like some people thought, you know, that might be a somewhat competitive game. Not at all.
If they would have left their starters in, the Vols could have hung up 80 points on Saturday.
So I know that we're going to talk a lot more about the game today. It's mostly about the Titans, but it's a 31-point line, I believe.
Yeah.
Which is huge. But that's how the Vols are playing. I also would say I'm a little more interested in this game now. I think Vanderbilt has found some things. I like how they're fighting right now. And Mike Wright is a very intriguing talent. Mike Wright is an intriguing young quarterback that I think might be where you need to devote your attention if you're Vanderbilt moving forward.
Well, in this game specifically, look, I don't think Vanderbilt has got much of a shot at hanging in there in this game. But if there is a weakness for the Tennessee defense that you can exploit repeatedly, the quarterback running the ball has been that weakness this year. They have been killed in that area.
Yep. So, yeah. Again, we'll talk about that game a lot. But Vanderbilt needs, what, 11-minute touchdown drives?
Yes, pretty much.
Basically, yeah.
Got a text that says, Robbie, what were your thoughts on them Hogs against Alabama? I watched a lot of that game. My buddy Jordan and I were at a wedding, and he's a big Hogs fan. He was excited watching that game. They hung in there, made it closer towards the end. I don't know what to make of Alabama. Bryce Young threw for 560 yards on Saturday and 5 touchdowns. It's puzzling to me that Alabama's defense apparently is as bad as it is. I mean, they can't cover anybody.
Right. Like, I think their offense, I think Ohio State is probably your best matchup for Georgia. You saw what they did to Michigan State, just eviscerated them. And C.J. Stroud is special, too. I think Alabama's offense could do some things against Georgia, but, yeah, their D, I think Georgia might just go up and down the field on them.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. They're not a complete team. And usually, I guess I thought that they would have more things figured out there. That was, I think, overall disappointing. I also think with Utah crushing Oregon, one, Cincinnati's in good position now. But also, I just think the Alabama close loss to Georgia but still gets in the playoff scenario is there. And frankly, if it's that or Notre Dame, give me Bama with 2 losses all day.
Notre Dame is hanging around, man. There's no way they can get in if Cincinnati goes undefeated, right?
Well, they might both get in.
Well, that could be.
But no. If Notre Dame jumps,
I mean, I don't think they're both getting in.
Well, it would that could very well be the discussion though. Alabama with 2 losses or Notre Dame?
It could be.
But if Notre Dame jumps Cincinnati, and Cincinnati doesn't get in, I will never watch college football again.
You will wash a car.
I'll wash a car and not watch college football while I'm doing it.
When we come back, it is time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe's Rex Road's Rant of the Week up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's Rant of the Week every Monday morning at 7:45. A little Kokomo bringing us back in there.
Michelle genuinely loves that song.
So, I do.
I mean, I kind of genuinely love that song. Yeah? So, yeah.
At least if you guys enjoy it, it's, you know, it's better that way. My Rex Rant is about Michelle saying the word Titans instead of
Titans.
Well,
somebody's is this Monday.
That's right.
It's so weird. It's really not my rant, but I just want to point
it's really
out,
not my rant.
Like, there's such a subtle difference, right? So it's not like anybody says the Tennessee Titans, right? No one says Titans.
I know one guy that does.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
which
good for him.
Every time he does, I'm like, what are you doing?
So it's Tennessee Titans. Titans. Titans, right? You don't actually pronounce the T, but you say Titans. I guess, just a long?
Titans.
Say it.
Titans.
Titans.
Yeah.
Ins.
There's just like a maybe like a little bit of a pause.
Listen,
it's just regional dialect, right?
I guess.
I don't know, but I've been trying real hard to switch it. And it's been a thing. You guys, we stood in the lobby the other day.
Yeah.
Right? We talked about it for 10 minutes and then we get a tweeter today. A Twitter tweeter. I'm like that. Here we go
nice
again.
Chat.
Here we go again.
I'm using that from now on. A tweeter.
Come on.
Tweeter trolls.
Chris has set a reminder on his phone to make sure he's tuned in for the rant.
Excellent.
It's a lot to live up to, Rex Road.
Yeah, all right. Well, so today I'd like to talk about something. I need a disclaimer today.
Okay.
I am referencing multiple shows in multiple markets. And really, it's really a sports talk radio thing.
Okay.
This is not directed at a single person or even a couple people.
Okay.
I want that clear.
All right. Noted.
If you say on your sports talk radio show, we're the only show in town that, blah, 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 blah. We're the most honest, blah, blah. We're the toughest, blah, blah, blah. Please stop. Because how the hell do you know? Do you listen to all the other shows in your market? Do you listen to every moment of every other show? And you're right, let's break down a day in the life of a person. All right, let's say like 7 hours of sleep. Sounds kind of amazing.
Like a dream.
Amazing.
Let's say you have a 4-hour show. You have maybe a 3-hour for your show. Okay, there's half the day. You got shower, I hope. You got meals. You got working on next day's show. Okay, so now I'm sitting there maybe about 8 hours available. Now, do you have relationships with any other humans? Do you interact with humans? Children, nieces, nephews, siblings, friends? Do you have another job? Do you have hobbies? Any TV shows you like? Activities, volunteering? Do you go on pedal taverns? Like, you cannot possibly know what people say on their shows. So, if you can't listen to other shows, I mean, you can listen to a segment and you can think you know people involved. You can make sweeping judgments on that if you want. But basically, you're a liar if you say that you're the only show in town, la, 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 whatever. So if you're going to go out of your way to tell people the only show that does that, it also means when you're lying / insecure, just stop doing it. Just do your show. I mean, I like our show.
Yeah.
I think
we rock it.
I mean, I think we're tough, fair. I think we do it right. But compared to others, I have no idea. I don't know. I think that we are probably the most honest anti-creed show in all of sports talk radio.
We could be.
So I would say that.
Although we do love Scott Stapp here on the program. Just let's make that clear.
I guess we actually do have a conflict there. But I would say, okay, I would say, no, that's right. You like Blink-182 too.
So do I.
We are the most honest pro Hall & Oates show in sports talk radio. Stop trying to compare your show to others by saying, we're the only show that does this, and just do your damn show.
I love this. This is one of my favorite rants that you've done. It's good stuff, Joe Rex Road.
And it's so frequent.
Again, oh, it's everywhere.
It's so frequent. Like, you don't have any idea what you're talking about. I don't. Like, I don't know what our competitors are saying right now. I promise you I don't go back later and listen.
Joe, are you sure?
That may be the best I don't know. I listen to – I mean, some people listen more talk radio than I do for sure, and that's fine. I'm basically when I'm in the car.
Yeah.
But you know what? Some people listen – but you still – you can't possibly have the time to be able to make that claim. It's like the – you know, it's like toothpaste, you know, new and improved.
Yeah.
From what? It's a total BS advertising ploy. New and improved from what? Improved on your competitor, your last version? What? It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. You done a deep dive on like the toothpaste study?
I got that from, that was actually like a advertising class I took. Okay. It's like all of these products that are like more, better, now, or whatever. It's like, but it, actually they never like tie it to anything. It's just
you're number
just,
one
it's
proven.
Just saying words.
Proven number one toothpaste. It's like
there you go. Right. So
yeah, man.
Anyway, just do your show. Thank
I like
you.
That. That is today's edition of the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex. We got a lot of thoughts to get to on the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Lester texting in. Good morning, guys. You forgot to mention Michigan or Oklahoma/Oklahoma State, but then again, I understand Rex Road overlooking Michigan since his Sparty team laid an egg. People think you just love Michigan
Ooh.
State.
What happened? Yeah, I know. What happened when Michigan State played? I forget. But I think that's true. Michigan does have Ohio State at home. So if Michigan – look, if Michigan beats Ohio State, Michigan's going to be in the playoff.
Yeah, I've seen that movie before.
Well, I have too. I mean, I don't think they're going to beat Ohio State. I think they can give them a better game than Michigan State did, though.
Well, I hope so.
I'll give you that much for sure. And Oklahoma State, worth a mention. Worth a mention. If they like really impressively trounce the Sooners. I mean, the Sooners are still technically in it too.
Yeah.
If one of those teams blasts the other and they get some help, they could sneak in there. But I think I think you're looking at Georgia is in. It's over, right? Ohio State, Ohio State has to win at Michigan, but that's who I would put in. I think Cincinnati's in a really good position the way they played, and with Utah knocking Oregon out of there, helping everyone. Goodbye, Pac-12. Thank you for playing. And then you have Notre Dame and Alabama, and then you go to the other teams.
Chris on the text line, can we just admit that this rant is about Stillman with two crying, laughing emoji faces?
I'm telling you, look, this goes back to, like, in Michigan, it drove me crazy. People were – I'm not saying that Jared hasn't done that before. But people in Michigan, there's some shows up there that are like, always do this. We're the only show that's going to tell it like it is. How do you know?
We're the only show with the Rex Rant.
Well, there is that.
That's true. We are the only show with more ridiculous puns than any other dad joke show.
I mean, that could be true.
I mean, that may
Maybe
be true.
Maybe we just need to start making a list.
But I don't know that it's true. I mean, I would guess that it's true. We have more dad jokes and, like, grammar discussion than any other show.
Skiatika.
But I don't know. I don't know if that's true. So how could you possibly claim to know?
That's what people do nowadays, man.
Right, but they need to be called out for it.
Look, I agree.
Call them out, Joe.
That's including, right. It's what the Rex Rant's for.
Okay, including Jared. But not just Jared. Not just Jared.
Tune in to the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Thursday on 102.5 The Game, the Las Vegas Raiders at the Dallas Cowboys with a 3:30 p.m. kickoff. We'll be right back. We'll be joined by our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Get his thoughts on the debacle yesterday for the Titans. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.